chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. And we read just a few verses from the beginning and also verse 19. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And then verse 19. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. And then verse 28 to conclude. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them, every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. Jacob, in blessing his 12 sons, mentions Gad in verse 19. Now, he was Jacob's 7th son by Zilpah, Leah's handmaid. And back in chapter 30 and verse 11, when he was born, his mother made this comment concerning him. Chapter 30, verse 11. And Leah said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad, which means a troop or company, alluding to the fact that she now, with this boy, had 5 sons given her, and it seemed as if one after the other came along like a troop. However, as is often the case, Leah said more than she knew. This illustrated what the tribe of Gad would experience in the future. And here in Genesis 49 and verse 19, Jacob confirms it, saying that Gad's descendants will have to fight many battles, and that they will lose some of those battles, but overall will prove victorious. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. That was literally fulfilled in after times. Remember, Jacob in the spirit is foreshadowing the future of each of these 12 tribes, headed by each of his sons. And when the tribe of Gad reached Canaan, their inheritance in the promised land lay to the east of Jordan, whereas the inheritance of most of the other tribes lay to the west. This was their choice. They, together with the half tribe of Manasseh, wanted the rich pasture lands there, but the trouble was that it did expose them to fierce enemies, particularly the Ammonites and the Moabites. And so, although productively it was a wise choice, east of Jordan, in that productive land, yet strategically it was an unwise choice, because it meant they weren't surrounded by the other tribes in their lots, but they bordered Moab and Ammon, and other enemies could come in and menace them, making border raids, and they will be defeated. A troop shall overcome him, but he will also win. He will overcome at the last. And so it proved to be in the after history. The tribe of Gad were a very warlike tribe and were experienced at fighting and defending their borders. They lost battles, but they were able to prevail. And this provides us with a principle that is true to Christian experience. It's remarkable, isn't it, how one step after another we arrive at this. Leah's mentioning Gad as a troop, Jacob taking up that theme in his prophecy and predicting their often battles, defeats, but overall victories. And now you can spiritualize it, because here is a picture of what always happens in Christian experience. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. There is warning, but there is promise. You see, we have enemies. Our place in this world makes us exposed to them, as the Lord would have it, because when he saves us, he does not take us immediately to heaven, but we remain here, and we have our enemies that will oppose us. There will be defeats and there will be losses, but victory is assured, because Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. We are Christian Gadites if we are Christians. Let's see how this is so in two ways. First of all, it is a law of the kingdom. And secondly, we can look at the lessons. First of all, it's a law of the kingdom. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Now, you see, there are laws in the kingdom, aren't there? In the kingdom of grace. There are laws in the kingdom of nature that God has built into his creation. The laws of nature, we say. But in this spiritual kingdom of grace to which we belong, there are laws also. That's how the Lord Jesus could tell his parables and draw from the kingdom of nature lessons for the kingdom of grace. And this is one of them. There are others. I think it was George Muller who said this: every step of obedience to God strengthens us spiritually, but every disobedience weakens us spiritually. That's a law, and it is always true. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, them that honour me will I honour, saith the Lord. It's a law. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Never varies, never changes. As in nature, so in grace. Here's another one. 2 Timothy 3:12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't overthrow these laws. They're inflexible. They're made of God. And here is one as well. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. It's a law of the kingdom. You see, we face troops, enemies, and hostile situations that oppose us. Often, as is hinted here, there are multiple trials, aren't there, that happen at the same time. Have you noticed how that when a season of testing comes to us, it's never just one thing, is it? It's often two, three troops, one after another, one upon another. They come in like troops. And my, sometimes it's an evil day. And sometimes it's temptations, assaults, batterings from all directions in all kinds of ways. And it's a struggle to keep going and to keep faith and to be upheld, isn't it? And not be overcome. A troop cometh. And sometimes we are overcome. There is particularly a troop of three. Not necessarily all at the same time, but certainly they are our enemies, what we call the world, the flesh, and the devil. The evil trinity that every real Christian faces. The world, because it's a fallen, sinful world at enmity with God, and it's inhospitable to us. And sometimes we get persecuted by it. Certainly we are often seduced by it. And it's a great danger to us with its frowns and with its smiles. It's a dangerous place to be a Christian, this world, as we know. And then the flesh, this old nature, this corrupt old heart that is still in us. Sin that dwelleth in me. And how that can rise up easily, sometimes stimulated by the world. And how that we are appalled at what we still find in our natures. Regeneration hasn't eradicated it. Regeneration has given a new governing principle, but the old will still fight for supremacy. And the devil. The busy, active, tireless enemy of our souls. He can use the world against us. He can use the flesh against us. And he comes at us in a multitude of different ways, doesn't he? We know it. And we all have our story of the Christian warfare. But you see, their great aim is to overcome us. If they could. Now, the wonderful thing is, dear friends, none of them can destroy us. Try as they might. Gad was never destroyed by the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the other enemies. There were incursions, there were raids, they were sometimes oppressed, but never destroyed. And it's like this with us. A troop shall overcome him, will try to overcome us. The trials, the afflictions, the testings, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sadly, we go down in defeat often, don't we? We are sadly overcome. It may be this very day we have come to this meeting and are hearing this word, conscious of the ways we have sinned and failed. We have been overcome. However, the wonderful thing is, it's never permanently. Gad, a troop shall overcome him. But, and oh, the buts of Scripture, the exceptions that God makes, but he shall overcome at the last. You can be overcome, but you can also be the one to overcome afterwards. And there are some examples we can cite of this very thing that happens. Think of that great, great scheme of things that underpins our very salvation. The covenants. Think of the illustration here, when Adam stood for us in the garden as our federal head in the covenant of works, a troop overcame him. The serpent and all his wiles and subtlety. And in that great and awful event, Adam and his wife took of the forbidden fruit and they plunged their whole posterity into the fall and condemnation and death. troop, as it were, came in to overcome. And Adam and all we were overcome. But he shall overcome at the last. Because even before the covenant of works was broken, God had ready the covenant of grace, made before time in eternity past with the last Adam, a federal head, even Jesus Christ, and all we elect ones in him. And what Adam failed in obedience and ruined us all, Christ succeeded in obedience to redeem us all. And by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many were made righteous. He overcame at the last, and in the fullness of time, our blessed Lord came after the 4,000 years of preparation. And he came on the stage of world history, the incarnation, the Word made flesh, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. And you see how this great scheme that underpins our very salvation is an illustration of this. The troop overcame, but he overcame at last and has given the victory. And there's a wonderful verse in Luke 11, verse 22, where the Lord Jesus likens the devil to that strong man who did overcome Adam the first. And he captured him and kept him secure and keeps every unconverted one secure. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him. You see, there's the coming of the Son of God. There's the last Adam appearing. There he comes to undo the ruins of the first Adam and the wretched work and destroy the works of the devil. When a stronger than he shall come upon him, Christ upon the devil, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. In other words, disarmed Satan and bound the strong man and rendered him powerless apart from the permission that God gives Satan for his works, and divideth his spoils. We're told in Colossians that Christ spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2 and verse 15. If you divide the spoils of the enemy, you've routed the enemy. And you have access to all his possessions. And you can divide them among yourselves. And you are the victor. And the covenant of works, the covenant of grace, you see. Wonderful. God. Troop shall overcome, but he, Christ, shall overcome at the last. And of course, this mighty victory in which we live and move and have our being is only the first part. There's much more, isn't there? There's the conquest of the world by the gospel to a greater degree. There is all the fulfillment of God's purposes yet to be. There is the coming of our Redeemer at the end of the age, the resurrection, the final judgment, the new heavens, the new earth, the everlasting salvation of his people. Christ shall overcome at the last, and we are overcomers in him right now, and we will share his victory in the time to come. So you see, this is the law of the kingdom. And then you can look at it in terms of the work of grace in us, each one individually. Philippians 1 verse 6. Why are we Christians? He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you see, we have a good work done. God has done a good work. in that he has given us a new nature in the new birth. Give us a new principle, a new life, a new government, a new authority, his word, a new enabling, his grace, a new direction, the narrow way, a new destination, heaven, a new set of values and outlook and worldview and everything. Begun a good work in you. It's not complete yet. And we've only begun to be Christians, haven't we? Even if we've been Christians many years, we've so far to go. Why is it so hard? Because a troop of enemies oppose us and try to resist us and hinder us. We've spoken about trials and afflictions, temptations and testings. We've spoken about the world, the flesh and the devil. All these things make growing as a Christian sometimes an uphill task. But overcoming us as they would, and sometimes they do, but he shall overcome at the last. Oh, for every failure and sin there is forgiveness. For every fall there's a lifting up. And for every defeat there is the encouragement of a victory next time. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it. God is committed to strengthening us and helping us and enabling us to grow as Christians. He's at work doing that divine and supernatural thing. And as we work out our own salvation, we're finding it's only because God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He will perform it. You might think that you are so far behind and are such a weak and a poor Christian. But be encouraged, because it's not your work, it's his work. Your work is only to cooperate with his, and he enables you to grow in grace. But he shall overcome at the last, until the day of Christ Jesus. The Lord will not lose one of his people. The Lord will not have failed in one case of the weakest and least consistent of Christians. He will ensure they all persevere and they all come home to glory. And then, thirdly, we can look at it like this. Not only the two covenants and the work of grace inwardly, but specific things that happen to us as Christians in this law of the kingdom. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. What if we have sinned a great sin? And we are so terribly racked with guilt, and so awfully full of sorrow and penitent. Well, Psalm 130 and verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God is the pardoning God. And not only the pardoning God, but the restoring God. And the receiving God. And the reviving God. Oh, what a mercy that is, dear friends. And oh, those precious promises in 1 John 1, for instance. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, a troop might overcome, We might be overwhelmed and we fall and we go down. And we have disgraced our profession and grieved the Spirit. And we've been overcome. But he shall overcome at the last. We're lifted up. Wonderfully blessed again. Because where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And you can never sin yourselves out of the saving love of God. And you can never be beyond the pale of the reach of his mighty redemption. And there is always forgiveness. This does not make us feel we can sin with impunity or at all be careless. But it's such a comfort when we feel most unworthy and most discouraged. And then what about if we have lost our patience, if we have lost our temper, and we have behaved abominably with a member of a family or with an individual, and it's been a dreadful experience, we have found that the flesh has risen up and we've lost it, and we've said words that we now can't take back, and it's terrible. But the promise still holds good. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. And when there is confession of sin, not only to the Lord, but toward the individual who has suffered because of our words, when we've apologized, when we've made it right, and when the thing is all sweet and restored, and when there are stronger bonds of love and perhaps understanding than there were before, we have overcome at the last. And you see, you can lose a battle, but you can still be winning the war. And you can fail as a Christian, but it can be all part of progress and growth as a Christian. And the marvel and the wonder is that these individual things do not constitute us going back so far. And like in Snakes and Ladders, when you end up on the head of the snake and you go all the way down and you go back almost to the beginning. It's not like that. You're never ever set back as a sinning, failing Christian. You remain where you are, and ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, you go on from where you are and get stronger and stronger. And God can even overrule our sins and failures, and can even bring good out of them, even though they're not good in themselves. What a marvelous thing the grace of God is. You think of Jacob himself here, predicting this of his son Gad. But Jacob himself was a man who really was overcome many times, wasn't he? Overcome by his own crooked, perverse nature. Overcome by his propensity to trick people and outwit them and get one better of them. Ah, how God had his hand upon Jacob. And as one thing after another marked Jacob's behavior, so God dealt with him in one thing after another. And although he was overcome, the God of Jacob enabled him to overcome. And what about that tremendous high point when he's wrestling with the angel of God's presence, the divine angel, in Genesis 32. And there is that striving in prayer and that engagement with God in that mysterious experience. And the more Jacob seems to be resisted, the more he strives and seeks to grab hold and will not let him go until he is blessed. And finally, he blessed him there. And he was humbled and he was weakened, and even physically it showed in his limping afterwards. But his self-will and his self-trust seemed to be broken at that definitive time. and he was no longer Jacob, a supplanter, but Israel, a prince with God. And there was a royal thing about his character that even then wasn't perfected at that time, but emerged gradually as he went on. You see, you might think, especially the earlier part of Jacob, that he's overcome again and again and again by sin and self and worldly ambition and motives and so on. But there is that life of God in him and that work of God in him, and he's going to overcome. And so God will ensure we overcome for our part. A love that will not let us go. It's a law of the kingdom. And what about Elijah, who apparently was of this tribe of Gad because he was a Gileadite? And Elijah seemed to be well overcome, didn't he? And that's strange, because he had overcome in a great victory on Mount Carmel in the strength of God, and the prophets of Baal and the priests utterly defeated, and Israel apparently returning to God. And yet afterwards, with the death threat from Jezebel, he's under the juniper tree, a broken man, weighed down by great discouragement, fear, discouragement, sense of uselessness, hopelessness, even asking that he might die. A troop has overcome him. So many different things in his mind and in his circumstances have brought him to this point. He's overcome. Sometimes we can be in the depths, can't we? Really in the depths. We can feel a sense of uselessness, of failure, of such weariness that we're ready to give up and give in. And he's overcome, but he shall overcome at the last, because the Lord sends his angel and gives him refreshment and rest, takes him to Mount Horeb, appears to him there, and he is most wonderfully blessed. And he overcomes at the last. And dear Elijah, the Lord has had his way. And you can think of others too who've come into this category. John Mark, a failure at the beginning, such that Paul wouldn't take him on missionary journeys anymore, but afterwards proving himself to the apostle, being reinstated. Onesimus, a thief and a runaway, converted at Rome, overcome, but then he overcomes and is raised up. Ah, dear friends, specific things, and God has his way. One more. Think of the cause of God generally, and how that this pattern is followed so often, isn't it? That it seems as if the enemy comes in like a flood, and it seems as if all the forces of evil gather together to bring down the church, and it seems as if God's people are brought low, the church weakened, the cause of truth almost at an end, it seems. But you see, the promise is, Gad, a troop shall overcome, but he shall overcome at the last. And like a phoenix out of the ashes, God can revive his work, and God can raise up his cause again and bring his church forth mighty and powerful. And even if some of God's servants do fail and are proving unfaithful, God can raise up others to take their places, and they will serve their generation by the will of God. And God will ensure that he is glorified in his people. Again, you see, you can lose battles. You can lose one battle after another, but you could still win the war. As it has been said very truly, And this is a very, very encouraging quote. It is better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. Not true. It is better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. The church will ultimately succeed. And of course, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne, is the promise of the Lord. Well, let's conclude by this. Not only a law of the kingdom, but let's look at the lessons. Opposition is not because anything is wrong. The troop will try to overcome. There's nothing that is saying that there's anything wrong in that. That is the law of the kingdom. That's what we are to expect. And the more people against us, it's only that we're on the Lord's side. And it's to be expected. Marvel not if the world hates you. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Don't be amazed with any amazement. Opposition. The devil, of course, because of what we are and what we stand for. And it's often, dear friends, that the more we progress, the more the troops come. The nearer to God, the more who will try and take us away from God. The more faithful we stand, the more there are who will try to pull us down. And a troop shall try to overcome. But don't judge too soon. You can be overcome. You can lose. You can fail. You can sin. You can go back. But dear friends, grace always has the last word. And repentance is an overcoming grace. And what a mercy that there is that open door back to God in sorrow for sin, acknowledgement of need and failure, and his receiving mercy. Grace will always have the last word, and we shall overcome through grace. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Don't stop with the beginning, or even further along. Not necessarily the whole story. It's not necessarily how it's always going to be. Better is the end of a thing. He shall overcome at the last. And we have yet to see more grace, yet to see more blessing, greater things than these, all that the Lord will do. Hope in God, and we shall praise him, who is the health of our countenance and our God. Let us sing in closing hymn 800.